Today on the Cooligans, we talk about that ridiculous red card given to Leandro Trossard. Is the Premier League title race over? I seem to think so.
No, we also talk about Everton getting new owners. How about that? But then we talked to Jared Freed, the voice of Love Undercover. Also, we talked to him about love and dating, and he solves some famous soccer love triangles for us. Wait till you hear that. And also, of course, we got to talk about NYCFC drawing late with Inter Miami. That and more today on the Cooligans. Are you, you're not a big food sharer at a restaurant, right? You're very much a, I'm going to order my food and enjoy it.
No, I have no problem sharing food.
Not a problem. What's your preferred mode of eating out?
I'll be honest. I don't have a preference. I'm probably not the person that's going to be like, yo, let's all get something so we can share it.
I've known you for a decade. You're definitely not that guy.
I'm not that person because it feels like I'm imposing and I don't want to do that in case there
I'm
are.
I'm so happy to do that though. I've never once thought of it as imposing.
I'm like, maybe this person wants their meal. I'm not going to go ask for some of theirs.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, my wife is that type of person. She
is she because she's like has a very defined way she eats.
Not really. She's very willing to try different foods. So she's very much like.
I just see her as being very health oriented, which is like very opposite of the way I would order at a restaurant.
She'll ask me to share food as if she's never asked me before. She asked me.
I gotta be honest. This starts to sound like a you thing because you don't seem very welcoming to sharing food, buddy. I've known you for a decade, and even I'm like, this guy's gonna hate
this. If I say yes every single time, why would you be worried that I'm gonna say no the next time?
Yeah, maybe it's just
crazy.
A personality trait, dude. I don't know.
That's a ridiculous thing.
Maybe you're a bad sharer in general. My wife is not a great sharer.
Statistics suggest you're probably gonna get a yes here.
Right.
So
based on previous. Previous yeses.
Don't need to worry that something's going to go awry.
It's a safe bet.
Okay.
The reason I ask is I was at a restaurant, and look, I'm a big sharer. Carter, I don't know how you are, but eaters, we tend to be like, why don't we get a lot of stuff and we could all try a bunch of stuff?
Family style is always the way to go.
Right?
Got it.
This is a lesson I learned when I started hanging out with chefs. They'd be like, hey, let's literally order one of everything on the menu and we'll all move it around. And then we all decide when we leave the place what we love to hate it, right? That's the order you go. Here's the best dish and I'll never need to order that again. So I was at a restaurant, actually The Stand. The Stand brought back their original menu. Remember their old school menu? There was one dish, Carter, that every comedian in the world loved. So for a while, if you were performing there that night, you got free food. Then they realize we're losing a lot of money.
We can't do that.
Yeah.
These comics are getting too fat.
These comedians, the stage can't hold this anymore. Every comedian was like, can I get the tomahawk stage steak? And they'd be like, no. And you'd ask that so that you could get the second most expensive thing, right? So they brought back the whole menu. There was one dish that was famous because you could get a free appetizer, but you'd get 50% off an entree. The best appetizer they had was the rock shrimp tempura because you got like 8 pieces of fresh shrimp deep fried covered in like a sweet glaze and everything was made in house. It was incredible. So you would get that and maybe like a side of rice or something or like some bread. You basically had a meal for free, right? So they brought back the menu. They went to a new venue. It's a beautiful restaurant, The Stand, and a beautiful bar alongside being a comedy club. It's not a like comedy club food. They brought back the original menu for their 12th anniversary.
Oh, right.
So as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, I'm with the owner. That means I'm not paying, right? It's the owner's table. You cover this. You know, right? You do this. I said, oh, my God, rock shrimp tempura. And my wife's like, yeah, remember? We little sustained ourselves on this thing. So I was like, yo. So I was like, let's get that. And D goes, yeah, I can't wait to have some. I go, you know what? 2 rock shrimp tempura. Double it up. And then she was like, why 2? And I'm like, because you want some as well, right? And she goes, but why don't we split one? I was like, I think you know the answer to this. You want some. I don't want to share right now. This is very much trip down memory lane for me.
All I'm saying, couldn't be me.
Buddy.
I would never do something like that.
She actually said, why are you being Christian right now?
I would share regardless of what circumstances, regardless of the nostalgia.
But here's the thing.
All the time.
I am sharing.
Yeah.
I ordered 2.
You ordered 2.
I'm getting half of mine and half of yours. The way I'm thinking about it. Because I wanted a lot of it.
Right,
so this didn't become an argument, but she gave me the eyes.
Yeah.
The eyes that say, like, I'm going to bring this up in the future.
Okay. I got my little notepad. Yeah, I got it down.
The memory bank has now been bing. A new entry has been placed in the memory bank for arguments.
Oh you're on CBS and all of a sudden you can't share your rock shrimp?
Oh, look who can afford 2 rock shrimp. Look at the big spender over here. So I now am. I know this is coming. I haven't dealt with it yet.
I love it. Yeah. You think Rock Trip falls off the trees? You're going to hit the next time, all of them.
The next time we get invited to like a Bundesliga trip or something, she's going to say, can I go? And I'll be like, oh, actually, you can't. It's a work trip. Oh, just like the Rock Trip. You don't want to share these experiences with me. And now I'm going to have to answer for something that happened months ago.
Hey, okay. So all very relevant because relationships come up a lot on today's episode.
Yeah, that's kind of why I brought it up.
We're going to be joined a little bit later by Jared Fried, a hilarious comedian. He has a Netflix special on 37 and Single. Go check that out. But he's also the voice of Love and Undercover, the soccer dating reality show.
Which we both were just watching the show and I'm like, yo, I know his voice.
Okay. So we're huge fans of him, and we'll talk a lot about, we'll sort out a lot of dating
issues. The way I know pizza, he knows reality shows and dating.
Correct.
And it's not, I'm not making that up. This guy is a dating sommelier.
Okay. That's well put. That is on his business card now.
He's like, oh, I know this vintage.
So Jared will be with us in a little bit, but as always, welcome to the Cooligans right here on... Oh, all right, Alexis has gone rogue on the audio board.
Buddy, did you see Christian Pulisic's goal this weekend?
Oh, I caught it. What's up, everybody? My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
So the a big weekend in footy, a fun weekend. This was
stressful, bro.
Stressful. Fun.
How was it watching City Arsenal for you? Because for me, I'm like, I don't think I can handle these next 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's for me as a neutral, and yeah, we'll start there. We'll start in the Premier League. As a neutral, I was saying at the North London Derby, I said the other week, I said if Arsenal lose that game, or they even if they draw, mm-hmm. I'm like, I think the season's over. And then after...
Which is crazy talk, because we just
but
started.
But I'm a crazy person.
Yo, we just got here. The kid doesn't share his food. Okay.
So, after watching this game, I was like, okay, wait, hold up. Arsenal, without Odegaard, who we know is going to be missing a fair amount of time.
You could arguably their best player, maybe him or Saka. One of the two.
Sure. And so I'm like... What Arsenal should I expect to see go up against the behemoth that is Manchester City? Because they seem
away at their house.
They seem infallible these last few years. And I gotta say, Arsenal, they got that dog in them that I didn't think they had that dog in them.
I gotta be honest. I was like, please tell me we got that dog in us.
Please. The x-rays say we have the dog in us.
Is it a puppy? What is it?
Okay, is it a chow chow?
Is it a hungry Rottweiler?
We need to confirm. Yo, I don't know what
Arsenal showed you something.
Arteta. And I know what I generally expect. As far as technical ability.
Is it the formation 6-3-0? Because that's what we done saw.
We'll talk about the red in a little bit. But the fact that the not only from the beginning, from the first whistle, Kai Havertz.
Threw a little shoulder.
Letting him know
who's
around.
Who's here.
Guess who? 3 seconds into a match.
Yo, bang.
Bouncing right off of Rodri. Rodri's like, okay, I didn't know this was... It's like, it's first day of prison vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to let him know.
Yo,
otherwise...
You fish, bro. You got to... You fresh meat. You got to swing at the biggest guy.
Yeah, look, and I feel bad for obviously...
And Erling Haaland was too far from him, so he swung.
I feel bad for Rodri, who we learned, obviously, tore his ACL and will be out for the rest of the season,
which is really
sucks.
Rough. But that happened on a different play.
Yeah, it was a different play, but there was something to just... I don't know what happened in the locker room. I don't know what Arteta. I don't know what was the speech. The speech go eat them boys or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but they played with not only a lot of heart, but they were just aggressive. And they were
just played Chief Keef.
When
you
think of Arsenal, and you know we've spoken to like Patrick Vieira, and you know he comes off as like when he was a coach of NYCFC, he was just like a warm guy.
Right.
But you know this man, you put him on the pitch, he don't play.
Yeah, he's a beast.
So you think why am I forgetting his name? The center back in that invincible team, the Brazilian
Gilberto Silva, defensive midfielder.
Another guy who we've also met.
Yeah.
Again, you know these guys are there's that era of just like a Arsenal
like hard men.
Yeah,
got the job done.
And
Arsenal, in the mud,
Arsenal have not felt that way in a very long time.
Marouane Chama.
Okay, yeah. with all due respect to the Chama family.
Yes. And his hair transplant surgeon who's done wonders for him. But yeah, I mean we got more flair, less, you know, dye in the wool kind of guys.
Without a doubt. And that's what I saw in this match.
To me, it was I think back to the match last season at the Etihad where Arsenal fans were, and a lot of Arsenal a lot of neutrals were like, I don't know about this Arsenal fan base, or I don't know about these players. They went there to draw. Rodri said the same thing. They didn't come here to win. Look at them celebrating a draw. Uh-huh. We want to be champions. There was a lot of talk, and Rodri's going to be brought up a lot because he's just a very vocal guy, especially when it comes to this rivalry, which to me feels like, remember the old, like, you might not have been a huge Premier League fan at that time, but United versus Liverpool was like the like the two going hardest at it. United would always find the glory. Liverpool were right there nipping at your heels. This feels like the new version of that rivalry to me. Mm-hmm. Not to say that rivalry doesn't matter anymore, but just the perennial winners now are City, and you've got Arsenal that are always right there, but just not good enough. Yeah. You know, just always one step away. Bottle it in the last second, which maybe you can claim happened in this match. But as an Arsenal fan, and even if I'm looking at it as a neutral, I can't say that. Because even I thought, once we go down to 10 men, I'm thinking, this is open season for City. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be Bayern, you could be Real Madrid. You go down to 10 men, City will find a way to pick you apart. Yeah. Can you withstand? Can you suffer for 45 minutes? And to me, I'm like, we have a one-goal buffer. If you were to tell me before the match, hey, you're going to go down to 10 men, but you're still going to walk away with a draw, I'd be like, where do I sign? Exactly, you know, yeah. That's a deal you take. Away? Think about this. Arsenal took 4 points off City last year. That was a draw away and a win at home. To be able to do that again is massive. Yes, winning and getting the 3 points puts you at the top of the table. It automatically puts you Arsenal at the top. That's a great thing. You beat the champions to go to the top. It's really early in the season.
Yeah.
City don't even really get firing on all cylinders to the second half of the season. To be able to this early take a point off of them already, or take, you know, yes, they make them drop 2 points, but take a point from the match away. But not having your best midfielder, your left back is playing right back. You get Leandro Trossard pulls a Declan Rice. You know, now all of a sudden you're down to 10 men for half the match. That's a lot to overcome.
Sure. We'll go through those details. But just can you just describe the feeling when John Stones scores that goal? How did you feel having to watch that?
I got to be honest, I felt nothing.
Ah.
Because I said, I felt bad for the players, because I'm an Arsenal fan, so mm-hmm. I want the feeling to come to fruition. The part that pissed me off the most was when Erling Haaland throws the ball off. And look, as a comedian, I'm like, it's pretty funny. It's kind of funny. As a comedian, I'm like, all right, not gonna lie, that's hilarious.
You got to chuckle out at me, Erling.
Yeah, all right, dude, Erling, you did your thing, bro. I hope they come and get you. What happened after? I don't know if you saw the clip of what he said to Mikel Arteta when it was a scuffle.
I didn't.
I'll go over in a second. Yeah. You guys, wait till you hear this. When that goal goes in, I think to myself, like, all right, there's not enough time for them to score again. If we walk out of here with a draw, not what I thought could happen. I was already thinking about, like, if they lose this game, what, you know, first of all, what am I going to have to say about it for 5 straight days, right? Two different shows, because we're probably going to be talking about the implications of it a lot. But just the feeling of, like, all right, we got over that hump. But actually, in a way, this feels like it sets up just a great rivalry for the rest of the season now.
It 100% does. That, I mean, it's a frustrating moment, definitely, for Arsenal fans. A bittersweet moment, I think, for City fans, because it's a little bit of like, y'all couldn't win.
Y'all celebrating a draw against the team with 10 men.
Yeah, it's just like, you couldn't find a goal much sooner than this. Yeah. Like, I mean, 3 points were here for you.
You needed a substitute center back to score for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where's your boy? Where's your boy with 100
Everton
goals?
Everton legend John Stones. Yeah. Don't forget about it.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. No, he says it every time he comes in. You know, he prays 5 times a day. He points to Gladys Street, wherever he is. You feel me? That guy's diehard.
The red card. And I mean,
hold on. Let me tell you what happened at the end of the match, because we talked about rivalry. Yeah. So at the end of the match, I don't know if you saw, it was a little bit of a scuffle, right? So there were cameras and microphones nearby. What they caught was players walking around, talking to each other, hey, great game, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Maybe there was a little bit of a tightness, a little tension there. Mm-hmm. As Mikel Arteta's walking past Erling Haaland, very clearly, it can be heard on microphones, him saying, stay humble, huh? Stay humble a little bit.
Okay.
He said that to Mikel Arteta. Mikel Arteta looks at him like, you know, you want to say, like, what'd you just say to me? Hey, the old Mikel Arteta was like, the F you just say to me?
Yeah, yeah.
And bro, out of nowhere, Gabriel Jesus with the cornrows, bro. You put on cornrows, you change a little bit.
That's the part I saw, because I remember there was, because that clip was going around of Haaland and Jesus, like face
like
to face.
Like Latrell Sprewell choking his coach. He steps in, he gets in his face, and I think, was it the kid that got the yellow before he made his debut? Skelly, Skelly?
I forgot his name.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
What you would call it? Yeah, he made his debut. He said, yeah, there it is. Miles Lewis-Skelly. Go down a little bit. There it is.
Yeah.
Lewis-Skelly.
Says it right there. It says not on pitch.
Yeah. He got a yellow card before he ever made his Arsenal debut. He came into the pitch at the end of the match already with a yellow as his debut. It was great. He kind of says something to him, and he's like, and Erling Haaland's like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. But yo, Gabriel Jesus got in his face right away. And was like, bro, you're not going to talk to my manager that way.
Right.
And it got sticky. It was a sticky one still. It got real sticky there for a minute. And as far as I'm concerned, that right there, you saw Mikel Arteta turn around and go, Gab, guys, let's go. Let's go. Because in his head, he's thinking, I don't need a light bulb. I don't need to draw a heart holding a brain's hands. Uh-huh. You feel me? I got all the juice I need to get these guys inspired for the next game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild one. It's going to be a wild one.
Haaland is slowly, you know, becoming a little bit of a villain.
Remember when he was at Dortmund, he would only answer things in one word? Remember every press conference, they'd be like, well, what'd you think of the game? It was good.
Yeah.
That was his whole thing. Like, I don't know if he was awkward or he didn't care. Now you kind of turn into this like, oh, you guys think I'm a robot. You think I'm this.
You need a quote?
I got you, bro. Yo, he's kind of like, oh, y'all need a villain?
Yeah.
I'll be that guy.
I mean, look, he scored his, I believe, 100th goal for City in this game. And yeah, there's a, how old is he? 22, 23? He's a very young guy.
Click on his name. It'll pop up.
Yeah. I mean, he is essentially
24,
very young.
Yeah, that is still young.
So he's like, we're watching him kind of grow up. We've seen his technical ability and his machine.
He scored 10 goals already this season.
He's unbelievable. But it's like, now we're seeing like, he's becoming a real boy. You know what I mean? So it's like, great to see. I do want to talk about the red card.
Just as far as the rivalry is why I interrupted
you. Yeah, no.
This is now for real rivalry.
The red card, it's getting frustrating on this show to constantly talk about refereeing decisions, but this is, you know, we're going to be talking to Jarrod Fried about reality shows, and it's like, I feel like the refs are in there to stoke the drama.
Facts.
To make it like, oh, okay, this isn't soap opera.
Yeah.
Enough of a soap opera.
Our viewers down in what demographic? Hold on a second. Let me blow this whistle right quick.
That's who's in their ear, okay? It's a reality show producer telling them we need to flip a table right now, Michael Oliver.
Yeah.
And this is the equivalent of flipping a table, because that second yellow on Trossard, and we're going to have the same exact conversation, the same exact comments. People being like, oh, well, you know, you play stupid game, win super prizes or whatever, the same thing. And it's like this, you have to be realistic. You have to be an adult. You have to say, hey, okay, maybe, you know, he did kick the ball. We understand that. But this game was ridiculous. There was a lot of craziness. And the fact that this is the thing that gets pointed out and this is the thing that gets penalized.
Thank you.
Is a joke. Like, I want to watch a game with two full teams playing each other.
That's the thing to me. It's like, yes, letter of the law. Yes, you're right. That's a second yellow. And it is stupid from Leandro Trossard having just watched his boy Declan Rice go down. You know what I mean? For the
same exact thing.
Yo, like, it's kind of dumb that you do this.
Is it a tribute to Declan? You can't do that.
Yo, Declan's, I got you. My boy Arroz got done dirty. Dirty Rice, bro.
Lock me up with him.
Yo, don't free him. Take me. You feel me? I'll do the time, bro.
Yo. He's just holding up one handcuff. He's like, put the other one.
Bro, I already got money in the commissary. this is a ridiculous podcast. I love it. But you could see like, yo, yes, you dumb. But bro, as a ref, can you calm out there, bro? You shouldn't be the star of the show, dog.
Take it easy, bro. This is unreal.
Give my guy a warning. Also, Arsenal have two players sent off on second yellows for delaying the game. No other team has had anybody sent off for this.
Picked on or something.
It's not like we're the only one doing it.
No, this is a...
Remember, Doku did this at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, oh, he did it in the direction of the game. Is that it? Would you got to whale it at the keeper?
I don't... And look...
And Erling Haaland, open field tackle on Saliba in the beginning of the match, directly in his back.
Right, right.
He wasn't even looking at the ball.
There were way worse things that happened that probably deserved a yellow card.
Seriously.
That did not get one.
This is how deep the internet gets. They found out that what was the ref's name again?
Michael Oliver.
Yeah. They found out that Michael Oliver apparently refed like a friendly or like a tribute game in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Was paid 20,000
euros.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bro, now we're digging in it. This is what happened, bro.
Well, they did that because I forgot there was a different game that he made a poor call, and they were essentially saying
to never go against City.
No, not even that. But did he recently ref this game? No. I don't know, dude.
I'm just conspiracy theorists.
I believe
crazy.
This was from last year. There was a bad call that people were upset with, and he had reffed a game in Saudi Arabia the night before, and the question came up of all right, are these referees overextending themselves? Are they not being paid enough that they have to take these jobs in these far away countries and then come back to England to ref a game?
By the way, they're not getting paid enough. I think they make $30K because this is all their second jobs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what I feel like. Maybe Premier League refs make a little bit more. No.
No. By the way, Premier League referee should not be your side hustle. We got to figure something out. This shouldn't be the MLM you sign up for.
Right, unless you love getting yelled at.
Premier League referees do not make enough. The sliding scale is 73,000 is the least you can make. And the most you can make is 147,000.
I mean, okay, look,
that is not
50,
that much.
At a $150, I no longer feel bad for you.
Yeah, yeah. At 70, I'm like, all right. Okay, all right. Yeah, this is definitely side hustle
vibes.
Yeah,
yeah. You could be corrupted. You know what I mean?
And that's really the main thing. They can't make too much money and they can't make too little money. It has to be a number.
Right. You can't have $10 million a year ref.
You pay
that guy would be unbearable.
No, a $10 million a year ref is not refing that long. He's like, I'm not doing it. I got $10 million.
But I own property. What am I doing here?
So it has to be.
I got tenants.
Now these calls are just capitalism. It's just what's the sweet spot where we can abuse them and they won't leave?
This is a good. If you and I ever want to be CEOs, this is the type of information
we're figuring it out. Just the whole labor.
Are we paying Carter too much money? That's the real question.
Are we not yelling at him enough?
Oh man,
are we not getting our money's worth?
how much mental manipulation can we put on this man?
All right, the Yahoo have an HR department.
Yeah, he's about to get married. He needs this job.
Anyway, so this is a just, I mean, what can more be said? All I'm saying is, this is detrimental to the game to be this nitpicky. That's my opinion.
I agree
understand
with you.
Letter of the law stuff, but this is ridiculous. This is
changed the title race.
This is the top tier game in your league, and this is what you want to focus on?
And might I add that all of you looked at me like I was an idiot when I suggested AI refs. Just get a couple Roombas out there with iPads.
I think people are still doing that. They're still looking
and
at
I don't
you
understand with... why you're fighting me on this, okay? You get a couple series out there, okay? Let them cameras, lasers, let them decide instantly, offside, not offside, foul, not a foul.
Yeah, the technology exists. Don't worry about it. We got it.
Bro,
question for you guys. I agree that the...
AI
that,
refs?
That the red card was silly, absolutely silly, or second yellow. But I thought the bigger problem here was that Michael Oliver was terrible the entire game. He was bad from the beginning whistle where Kai Havertz shivers Rodri and doesn't get a card to the very end where Haaland shivers Gabriel and does not get a card.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, do you agree that just Michael, the level of reffing in the Premier League is just not good enough?
This is probably their best ref, too. I mean, at least on the broadcast.
Yeah, he is one of the most decorated of all the refs in the
league. I think the problem is, and there's almost no way to achieve it, really, but it's consistency. Look, one set of fans will always be upset. One set of fans won't. I, for one, thought he was fine blowing the whistle on the free kick that leads to a goal from Arsenal. And people will say, like, oh, but Kyle Walker wasn't back in place, and he's the one who called him out. Technically, he was, but he turned his back. Our City fans will say, like, well, he should have waited to blow the whistle until Walker was fully set because he's the one who called him over. And then as an Arsenal fan, I'm thinking, well, there's a reason why Gabriel Martinelli ran off to the side and waved his hand. It's because he realized Kyle Walker had his back turned to him giving direction versus being in the play. So, in a way, you're never going to be fully consistent, but the closer you get to consistency, the better. Because if he calls that on Doku, or if he calls that, like, maybe he doesn't call the first shiver, because even that, it seemed like they ran into each other, even though Havertz is kind of known to be like, all right, I'll throw my arm a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Maybe that one doesn't go, but the tackle on Saliba does. And then you go to Leandro Trossard's second yellow. Imagine he doesn't call for the delay game, but calls it for the throw in the shoulder. You could say, you know what? He called it before on Erling Haaland. I can understand why he would do it here. People will still argue, but at least you don't have much of a leg to stand on. Both times that it's been called for delay a game, you and I talked about it. The ball was rolling on Declan Rice's. It wasn't set. It was ridiculous. I can understand why Arsenal fans are walking away thinking this is a conspiracy against us. And in this case, you're talking about two or three shivers that happen in this game that don't get called for yellow, but a delay a game does.
Yeah.
In the dying minutes of the first half, when it could be understood, like, yes, he could hear the whistle, but you could be like, all right, don't do that again, or this is your final warning. You can do something along those lines to, like, let someone know, hey, the next time you even make a small infraction like this, it's a second yellow, you're out of the game. But to completely change the direction of an entire title race over a letter of the law where you kind of have a little bit of judgment on it, you're the guy.
Nobody would have been mad at him if he didn't give a yellow here. Nobody.
Neither side.
Literally nobody.
Imagine being the guy at the bar going, he delayed a game. And that should have been a second yellow.
Bartender, please shut this game off. I cannot watch. I can no longer watch.
Turn the taps off. Injustice is about no one.
It's absurd. I mean, look, it's just as far as the heart of the game, it just feels like this is
spirit of the rule as well.
Yeah, it's
that's
just,
not what the rule is about.
Just let Trossard know. And I also, initially watching it, I'm like, maybe Trossard didn't hear the whistle. I mean, it was a quick play. They went for the ball. And he, like, kicked it out.
Like, he yeets it.
He does, but it's just, like, it happened so quickly.
Yeah, but, like, in the middle of it, he turns around. Like, I guess he kind of did hear it, but still.
Come on, bro. It's just, again, I guess it's worse because it just happened to Declan Rice over even something more innocuous than what Trossard did. But it's just, like, so unnecessary. I mean, I don't know. I understand. Yes, the rules and blah, blah, blah. But just it ruins the game. And credit to Arsenal for holding on for as long as they did. I mean, you got to applaud them for the defensive effort. And that just, I mean, against Manchester City is remarkable.
Yeah,
but that ain't the game I wanted to watch.
Same. And by the way, I did not enjoy the second half at all. This was gut-wrenching to watch.
So a tremendous.
The first half was fun, though.
It was fun. I mean, the goal from Calafiori and the...
Legendary. He did come out with a knock. I'm a little worried about.
Yeah. So we'll see how serious that is. But the goal from Gabriel Magalhães was... he's becoming, making an argument for best center back in this league. I mean,
I still think Saliba is the best center back. But Gabriel Magalhães is number two, and they happen to be on the same team.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, look, as far as the goal contributions, the goal is no accident, right?
This is clear. This is an NBA play.
I love that you saw Kyle Walker. He has his hands on him.
He's doing the tippy tapping. He's
tapping him.
Work. He hit him with a crossover.
He hit him, not even, but he did a swim move. Like he was, jumping off the line. Boom, swim move, and then gets it. He basically is in the net by the time he gets contact on the ball. So it was just a great moment. But
also, it's a mirror of the play they ran on the corner before it. So I don't know. As a goalkeeper, I don't understand why you're like, oh, they're going behind me again.
Yeah. I mean, the movement. So just great to see. But
bro, if your club doesn't want a set piece coach, You're behind the times, dog.
Okay.
I'm talking directly to you, Carter. at this point, like, yo, you see the merit of having a set-piece coach. That's
It seems to be working out well.
It's ridiculous.
I mean,
it could have been three goals. He almost scored on the one before that, too.
If you need a delay of game coach, I mean, Arsenal definitely
does. Yeah, no, that guy just got fired. He's like, I knew we shouldn't have brought you in
here. I'm available. I'm happy to give some direction
and
there.
If you need a sharing food at a restaurant, coach, yeah, my man.
The other quick things in Europe, look, Everton. Have an agreement with the Friedkin Group, which is the owners of Roma.
It's a freaking weekend, baby.
Not Diddy's freak off.
No.
The Friedkin Group.
No.
All right, just to clarify.
He doesn't want to buy.
So they have an agreement to finally have new ownership.
It's official.
There was a joint statement by Everton and the Friedkin Group that they have an agreement. Like, I don't think everything, you know, all the I's are not dotted and T's are crossed, not just yet, but it looks like that is what is happening. So I'm just hoping for some positivity there. Let's talk about Christian Pulisic because he scores in the win against Inter.
Again, he scores first by doing it himself. Takes the ball. This was similar to the one he did in Liverpool against Liverpool.
Yeah, this was even more evident because not only did he got the ball from taking it, like basically plucking it from
he gets in front of the Inter player, mm-hmm. So it bounces in front of him, and he takes off. He takes like five defenders on himself.
I love it, and you see the run as he's running. He's like, they don't even think I'm gonna run. They don't think I'm fast enough to do this.
These boys think because of my accent, I can't do this.
Okay. You know, because, you know, they think I eat a couple chicken fingers and fries. Right? Yeah. They think
I'm putting ranch on pizza, bro.
They think I can't do this.
They don't respect me, bro.
And he just barreled through.
Bro, he hit him with the never ending breadsticks and salad, bro. Okay. He said, yo, Italy, this is how we do it.
Okay. Yeah. Right here, everyone's family.
Yo, barbecue chicken parm. Yeah, you heard me. You about to get a tummy ache, my guy.
I loved the goal. There's something to Pulisic this year. He's celebrating the goals so aggressively.
Did you see on Twitter somebody said Christian Pulisic's favorite goal celebration is all of the goal celebrations he knows mashed into one? Because he does the heart pound. He does the shush. He does the eye of the tiger joint. He hits them with all of them.
He jumps also.
Yeah.
He does every single celebration. He's hitting all the buttons in FIFA.
Bro, he mashing buttons, bro.
So he celebrates so hard that I'm like, yo, save some energy for the rest of the game. We're early.
Yeah. He said, yo, you got chicken bolognese? How about some dinosaur nuggies, bro? This is how we eat chicken that's breaded and fried.
There it is.
And by the way, I just want to point out, there was a gentleman I met through Lindustries, Italian guy from Milan, big AC Milan fan. I go, Christian Pulisic. He's like, what do you want me to say about Christian? He's okay player, but you know, this is not the level of Milan. Mm-hmm. You know, Milan, we had the Shevchenko, we had Gattuso, and I'm like, those man's retired over a decade ago. That's not your club no more. You know what you got? You got an American, the most outstanding. The man with the most goal contributions in Serie A since he joined the league.
Bro.
Since he joined the league, put some respect. Is he Shevchenko? Nah. He's goddamn Pulisic, fam.
What?
America. America. Right. Don't tell me about Shevchenko.
Okay. I love the remix. He had a great game.
This was the derby, bro. The coach was about to get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Him.
He done saved the whole thing.
I thought everybody played well.
Reinders was on one, bro.
He got the assist, but just sending great passes,
bro.
Creating great.
He
great
had
chances.
Not played that well up until this match. At least from what I think. Saw. So, Tammy Abraham also came back.
Yeah.
Terrible injury last season.
Mm-hmm.
He's back
towards ACL at Roma, but the Pulisic. At the beginning of the season, we remember he was playing in the midfield at the 10. Chukwueze was in that position. That's it. Conversation's over. Pulisic should be starting.
That goal came from a central position.
Sure. Yes, it did.
So I like the fact that he can flow. They can swap spots. Exactly. Cause confusion.
But it shows that he's aggressive in trying to win the ball back. Yes. And in those situations, again, he may not, even if he's not being set up with the perfect pass, there's a little bit of like, yo, his pace, he's like he has like a tricky pace where you don't exactly, he's not the fastest, but he's just like, he's deceptively, that's
the thing. He's got good ball control and enough pace to scare you.
I think it was at Acerbi or Bastoni who were, oh no, it was Pavard. Pavard was the one that was trying to put a body on him. But you saw Pavard, like, he's not really good. Like, his instinct is not to like, let me close this gap.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure he's going to pass it at some point. And it's like that half a second where he's like,
they don't believe in us, bro.
They don't believe in us.
They don't believe in us, bro. Okay. In fact, let me say this directly. Put me on the ISO real quick, Carter. Let me say this directly to the people who believe in them comments. I know you Serie A fans about to leave some wild comments on this, okay? Tell me right now. Name me a better Serie A player right now. Better in form. Name it. Put it in the comments. Put it in the comments right now. Who's in better form? I dare you.
Yeah.
What you going to say? Vlahovic has scored in what, 3 games? What you going to say?
Okay. Is he running through?
I dare you, bro.
Is he running through 7 defenders to get to the goal?
And you know what? If you name a player that's better, I will send you dinosaur.
Okay. You don't know what you're talking about. All right. Do you have a show where you talk crazy things that make stupid jokes? No, you do not.
No, they don't. You wish you did, though. Oh, but the group chat's funny. Is it? Is it? We've been here since 2015, my guy.
There we go. Like we said, wild weekend in Serie A, in Premier League. And we have a lot to go over as well. We have one more segment after the interview. We'll talk about a couple other things. But let's chat with Jared Fried.
Homie.
Talk Love Undercover. We'll talk about your dating life, okay? We don't do it enough. We don't give you the support.
Let's get personal.
That you need, because you know, y'all are struggling out here.
Yeah,
your relationships,
bro. But you and I have found love, but what about everybody else?
Exactly. We love each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're also married. Okay.
So, let's
talk. That's right, the ladies.
Is this how they find out?
Oh, no.
So, let's chat with comedian Jared Fried.
Oh my God! What amazing guests we have on the show.
We haven't even spoken and introduced this man, but the reviews are already in,
bro.
What a great interview that we are about to do.
We're applauding ourselves. What a job we've done booking this show so far.
Shout out to producer Carter having the coordination through the emails and stuff like that. Really just great
the
work.
The kick it hit send. You know, the kick it really hit send. And who he said sent. Sent to? That didn't make sense. The person emailed is what a friend.
I mean, dear friend.
We've known this guy since back in the day.
In the open mic scene.
For real.
Okay.
Very quickly, he got out of it. We were there a little longer. what happened to him? You know? But here's the thing. I'm watching a reality show. It doesn't happen often, but it's soccer related. Uh-huh. We talked a lot about it on the morning show. I tried to get you in it.
Yes. And
You fully in.
It took a while, but then I'm like, oh, I'm fully invested.
And you had the same moment I had, which is like, yo, how do I know this guy in between?
That voice the is voiceover. Familiar. I've heard it screaming at me from my phone from time to time.
I think I've seen this voice do stand-up with his arms crossed while still holding the microphone.
Yes.
It is a feat that I have not been able to do myself.
You all know and love him. Definitely from the U Up podcast.
Of course.
The J-Train podcast. You've seen him on Netflix. His Netflix special, 37 and Single. Please give it up for the homie, Jared Fried. Jared, what's up, man?
Thank you so much. What an intro. Yeah? Thank you. You guys got to get. You know, this is a huge deal for you.
This is a big deal.
Listen, I already knew this was going to go well before it even started.
All right.
I'm happy to hear that the reviews are in.
Are you excited?
It's great. Yeah, no, I am now part of the football world.
Yes.
It is crazy. By no real effort of my own. It just kind of happened.
No, I mean, no, I wouldn't say that. Years and years of hard work, right. Obviously.
Avoiding it.
But years of watching so many reality shows, commenting on them. You are now the arbiter. You are the person. I definitely, as someone who does not regularly watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Our worlds have collided in a weird way.
I generally get a sense of what's going on in the reality show world, and particularly with this show, because of you. You
You're the bridge.
You get me this information in a way that I can tolerate.
It is very funny that, you know, when I got asked about the show, they're like, I'm like, yeah, they're like, they want you to be the voice over guy. They're basically, they have this show, it's a dating show where they're, you know, these real big time soccer players from all over the world are going to date American women who have no idea who they are. And I was like, oh, that's funny. That's a cool premise. It's like Joe Millionaire kind of type of thing. Yeah. And they're like, and I'm like, well, they go, they want you, they, you know, they need an element where it's like Love Island, where they have this voiceover guy and they can't have it be a British guy because the Love Island guy is Scottish. So they're like, it kind of sounds too similar. So they're looking for an American to do this. And I go, how did they find me? And they're like, it's all these producers that used to work on The Bachelor that like are doing this show and they know you from yelling at The Bachelor. So it's like this weird, how, you know, soccer meeting, you know, dating shows meeting reality TV that like, okay, you get brought in off the bench, so to speak, to like enter your world. And I even thought to myself, I go, oh, and they were like, it's going to be on Peacock. That's where the Olympics are. That's where they do the EPL. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this could be like a big show. Like, yeah. Because I actually thought of you guys. I was like, guys like that, they might not like a dating show, but it's someone you know that you're like, what? That guy? Right.
Oh, man, I'm also enjoying the show the same way you are. I just want to break in real quick to say, right about now, we talk a lot about Jared's podcast. We have some really funny conversations about dating in general. Some really wild stuff. This guy's literally traveled the country talking about dating. If you want to hear that, jump right to our Patreon. If you're already a Patreon member, then you're probably listening to it right now. But for the sake of this show, we're going to cut right to when we start talking about Love Undercover. So check it out. That's going to happen in 3, 2. Oh, my God, look out.
So it's interesting because watching Love Undercover, I can't even remember the last like dating reality show thing I even watched.
That might be the first one.
But this was definitively something where it actually elicited feelings from me. Where I'm watching, I'm like, why are they all going with Lloyd? Because he's 6'4". You know what I mean? Like, why is it? There's a certain
which, by the way, you mentioned Lloyd. He's like a nobody.
Right. So that's the thing. That's what I was like so interested to hear what you guys thought.
Okay,
like,
we'll go.
He plays for Charlton.
Remember he said
but
my
Lloyd
agent
was like loaded. Like his dad owns a team.
No, not Lloyd. Sebastian. By the way, also a nobody. His dad owns like 3 teams. He's horrific. He's a bad player. Okay. He's like third division down.
We might get them on the show, Alexis. Don't be too harsh.
Were they ever good? Like Sebastian and Lloyd, were they ever good?
No. Lloyd is okay.
Lloyd's okay. He scored like the week or two after Love Undercover, like in the beginning of the next season.
Okay,
he ended up scoring. I think he scored about 2 goals this season or whatever.
Yeah, he's at a level where like if he makes $100,000 a year, I'd be shocked.
Not like multimillionaire. Okay,
Jamie O'Hara made a ton of dough.
No,
I don't think so.
Doing this,
I'm sure he's fine.
No,
Jamie O'Hara was. It felt like he had done really well.
He wanted you to think it was like if Beckham didn't exist, they would have all been talking
right,
about it.
That's kind of how I.
Bro, he was in the Premier League for like a year and a half.
Okay,
you know, he made money though.
He was good. He was okay.
He was good. He was.
But
all
right. He's a good talker.
Good.
He was great. Yeah.
Very entertaining.
But he's also like the kind of guy that the media would always talk about because he knew how to draw the media. He was like a rock star in his era.
And then he had the cheating scandal, which it was in like paper. Like, it seemed like he understood, the world of like, hey, I need a career after this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that like it kind of gave Pat McAfee vibes.
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. In fact, the show he's on that he always talks about, I'm on the number one show. Mm. He's the second mic. His name isn't even on the show.
It's
the other guy's name. And then he's just also on the show. Ryan Babel and Marco Fabian, those are the two where you're like, these are real careers.
Proper footballers.
I knew Ryan Babel, I'd heard that name before.
Yeah.
That was one of the names where I was like, oh, okay. And
played in World Cups, a significant player. Now he's at the end of his career, but he's playing in Istanbul, which is like MLS, like a retirement type leagues for some folks. But Marco Fabian and him are like, these are the two biggest names. Like, these other guys would be carrying their duffel bags in and out of training.
So I would, that was the thing. Well, that you could tell by the way, you know, just from watching the show, Jamie had reverence for Marco.
Yeah.
In a way that you can feel it.
Yeah.
Like the other two guys, Lloyd and Sebastian, just felt like good looking guys.
They're the hot ones though.
Right. Yeah. They didn't really, in their mind, who was giving reverence to people was kind of like interesting. And then the Babel, you could tell like, it weighed on him that he wasn't Ryan Babel. You know,
his reveal.
His reveal is one of my favorite. I don't know if you caught this. So everyone else, they had that confessional room that they would walk in and go, hey, there's something I didn't tell you, right? Yeah. And if you don't watch the show, it's very common that as soon as like a girl decides she wants to leave the house, or if she's like voted out of the house or whatever it is, the guy decides, I'm no longer interested, they reveal to them, hey, man, I'm a professional player. We've been lying to you this whole time. His reveal, everyone else, like, someone brought her to a stadium. Someone like showed her, like, you know, hey man, I used to blah blah. He sat back and just played his highlight reel.
It was legit
wonderful.
His highlights.
He didn't say a word. He was like, not bad, huh?
And these women, like, they it was interesting to me how little they really cared.
That,
like,
was interesting too.
It wasn't like, you know, I think this was the what, you know, again, like, I don't want to watch these women manipulated. They weren't. You could tell they had their own thing going on. And like, you know, they're in the way they were cast, I think from my perspective, it felt like there's just this like list of people who are like, I'll go on dating shows in LA.
Yeah.
And you tell me what the dating show is.
Whatever the premise is, I'll figure
it
out.
I've always wanted
to be with a farmer. I've always wanted to be.
I'll do it. So it kind of felt like that with the women on this show. They're like, I guess I'm on a show where I meet an international man, you know, like, okay. I pitched them. I said, you should do this show the other way now. Like, because I was thinking, I'm like, the women of Europe don't know professional baseball or 100%. Hockey players.
Yeah. Or NFL players.
Right, or NFL players. Like, if you got, like, and I'm now, that, like, knowing the levels based on how you're telling me this, like, I was trying to think of, like, who would women not know? And I'm like, it would go pretty high up. Like, if you had the second Kelsey brother, Jason.
Jason. I love that you called him the second.
Let's be honest.
He's also won a Super Bowl.
No, no. He is the second Kelsey brother. He's not with Taylor.
I'm done with this whole thing. No, I mean, we live in a post apocalyptic society where if you're a good athlete, you're all of a sudden a media talent.
Exactly.
You know, so like, that's how our, you know, the only way to be a normal person on air is to also be the greatest at an Olympic sport.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird, you know, like, we have to just agree they're funny, even though they're doing jokes you'd hear
at a
bachelor party.
Like, why? Can
Jason
we mute the
Kelsey
mics?
Is bachelor party funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's guy who does a bit at the bachelor party, one note, seen it already,
right.
Does a wrestling intro. McAfee's just above that to me. Yeah. Like, it's all weird. Like, I, you know, McAfee was on his thing telling people, I have a set ready to do an hour of stand-up.
Could you imagine how brutal that would be, though?
Yeah, we know that's brutal because that's not how it's done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like it's on my phone. He was asking, what's your notes section like? What's your notes thing on your app on your phone like? And then the guy was like, didn't understand what he was saying. And Magnus was like, I have three stand-up sets. I was like, no stand-up has ever talked about stand-up I have three sets on my phone. Yeah, what are you talking about?
No stand-up has ever said that.
You're not talking about it right. It's like Steve Carell talking about like, yeah, I want to touch those fun bags.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute, you've never had sex. You know, like,
it's like you're talking to a chef. How many recipes do you have on your phone? Right, like, I got like 10.
What do we...
I could do 2 weeks of dinners Monday to Friday.
it's so bizarre. So now I have to like be in reverence to like
right.
Jason Kelsey for it. No, he's a good, I think he's a Hall of Fame football player, mediocre talker. I mean, we're seeing this with Tom Brady right now. Tom Brady is pretty brutal, and you can tell like he doesn't understand. Like,
why can't they just do Tony Romo? Tony Romo figured out, like, I'm going to clue you in on what a quarterback is thinking. You're in your lane, buddy.
And Tony Romo is like quick bites. Like, he's perfect for
in and out.
That. Yeah, and Brady, who I love, Brady, like, I'm a huge
You're fan. A New England guy.
I'm from Boston. I like my Brady's like my childhood. Like, I look up to Tom Brady as an athlete, and it's funny to see like circumstances for how you view someone is based on their circumstances. Like Tom Brady being a late round pick and like working his way up, and
Bledsoe
then
gets injured, he comes in and becomes a god.
Right. And now he's the GOAT. It's like, do we see him as the GOAT because of the circumstances he walked into and the way the salary cap is in the NFL, where like you can pay a quarterback less and pay your other players more so he has more talent around him. And it's like, it's funny, now he gets $300 million from Fox, and now he's seeing what it's like to be judged as if he's Mitch Trubisky.
He's these guys.
Right.
Yeah, you took your armor off.
Right,
you're not throwing the ball.
You're not the guy who was drafted 6th overall. You're the number one pick, and we've given you the money before you've done anything.
Yeah.
Now we want to hear you talk on the air. And it's like, oh, I guess we're going to judge you that way now.
Yeah, you've never, it's like taking a beautiful woman and hiding her behind a curtain. Just your personality shine. You're like, wait,
give
what?
Give it to us.
I've never had to do this before. Dude, you know how many former soccer players are mad at us, like would get mad at us because they would think we're stealing their shine because we're funny on microphone if we have to do events together? It's like, this is all we do.
Right.
This is literally our lane.
I've been training in the way you train for a completely different profession.
Right.
You know, so, which is okay. I'm not going to, I couldn't. They wouldn't allow me on the field.
Yeah. If I did, insurance rates would skyrocket.
Yeah, they got issues. So.
One of the things I absolutely, that actually made me feel really, really bad was the women on Love Undercover that were picked, but then when they learned what their jobs actually were, and then they were like, oh, I don't know if I want this.
Right.
I don't know if I want this life.
The girl Ryan Babel picks is the one's like, ugh, I don't want
to. Right. Who would, you know, I got my own stuff to do. It's like, and I don't know if that's even like, you know, some would say, oh, that's admirable. I don't know. I just whatever your taste is. Like, I don't think it's bad to want to be attracted to Ryan Babel because he's the most famous soccer player in the world. I think that's like, that's as okay as being unattracted to it.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's like the, especially with dating stuff, there's a lot of people out there who are looking to be told what's right and wrong. And the problem is, if you go looking for that, you'll spend the rest of your life hearing differentiating opinions because there's no right or wrong.
It's like trying to make everyone happy.
Right. You're never going to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
you're just going to be spinning your wheels.
Right.
Now, the cool thing about this sport, are we ready to jump?
Yeah,
to
I was going to ask one quick thing because and this is this. I don't know how relevant this will be, but one of our Patreon members, Mike Thomas, he just said, he wrote this. Yeah, he goes, I heard Jared on another pod talk about awkwardly approaching Larry Bird for an autograph. He said it was a great story. Yeah. I haven't heard this. You approached Larry Bird for an autograph?
You did tell us you're a Boston guy. He's
from Boston. Yeah. Larry Bird used to live like 5-10 minutes from my grandmother's house, and we were going home from, it was the it was like Rosh Hashanah. It was like one of the Jewish holidays, and I was like 12 years old, and I'm like in my like suit, and my dad like pulls over the car. We're on our way to my grandmother's, and he's like, look over there. And Larry Bird is Larry Bird, like Hall of Famer, unbelievable. Yeah.
7'15" white guy.
Yeah. But also living in a house that, it's not like you were like going to the Larry Bird estate. Like it was like just a house. And he's like, my dad pulls over, he goes, Larry Bird's cleaning out his garage. Go talk to him. And I'm like, I don't want, no.
Yeah.
And I'm 12.
Like
I'm
a like, human being, you're like, no, please don't make me do
don't
this.
Don't do, no, make me. And I go, I'm 12 and I'm also in my suit. And I think the source of my embarrassment was like, I don't want to be a nerd in a suit.
He's like, who's this tiny accountant walking up my driveway?
Right. And I look at my dad, I go, I don't want to go. My mom's like screaming. She's like, drive! Like, and my brother's like a baby. Like, he's like, you know, he's 8. So it's like, he's like, you got to go. You got to get this autograph. And I'm like, I don't want to go. I'm in my suit. And he's like, you will regret this the rest of your life. And I go, you go. And it's like, that does seem like a bad idea. Like I agree with him now. Like, can you imagine like a dad leaving his family?
Larry! Lawrence?
So I was like, I don't want to go. And literally, he's like, go now. And I'm like, and then my mom's like, drive! Screaming at him. We drive away. And he's, my whole life, my dad's like, you didn't go talk to him. It's like become like a thing.
Yeah. By the way, I'm with your dad on this.
Right. This is, and I remember I got like a card. I got like a basketball card set that had like a sign. And I'm like, look, I got it. And he's like, that ain't the same.
Imagine the like, car was a photo of him cleaning his garage. That would have been.
We could have gotten a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays you have your phone ready to go picture. It would have been the whole thing. Then, it haunts me.
Now that I think about you standing there talking to him, waiting for your mom to walk up the driveway with the old point and shoot. That would have been kind of brutal.
In my suit, just like little bar mitzvah boy.
Yeah.
All right. So we wanted to run these by you. So there's obviously, given Love Undercover, there was a lot of drama.
We'll explain these. You don't have to
read
this.
Was obviously a lot of drama, just like any other reality show. And soccer players.
The reality is more drama filled.
Exactly. Than I think people realize. And there's something, I think, a Americans may not be aware that soccer players and footballers have the same amount of drama, whether it's in the United States, whether it's abroad. Like, it happens in soccer as well. And I think a lot of people are not aware to the degree.
Of course, good-looking guys with money have an issue a lot of time. With women.
Who travel.
So there's a we're going to toss you a few soccer scandals and just to give you – just to get some advice for how
can you mend these relationships?
Could I help them?
Exactly. Yes. Okay. So this was
for some of them. You may have to help them make a decision.
Exactly. So we're gonna start with Samir Nasri. So
French, played on my favorite team.
What's your favorite
Arsenal?
Team? Okay.
Okay.
And known for his flair.
So he's a flamboyant guy.
Flamboyant guy. Very French.
Okay.
So he,
I like him already.
A couple years ago. We had a lot of fun with this at the time, but a couple years ago, he went to get a vitamin drip. Have you ever had a vitamin drip before?
No.
Okay. He was in Los Angeles, and he goes to get an IV.
IV. I've done these. I haven't gone to this location, but I've done it
before.
Seems
like you're missing out on some services.
So, I would be so scared as an athlete. Like, don't put something in me that might get me right.
I think he ended up did get in trouble.
I think he put something in the...
So anyway, so Drip Doctors, the location, they tweeted this out. They said, we provided Samir Nasri a concierge immunity IV drip to keep him hydrated and in top health during his busy soccer season with Sevilla. He was at the time he was playing in Spain. So he comes to LA.
What an amazing place to play soccer. You're in Sevilla. Sevilla. Like crushing it.
Just a god.
So he takes a picture with one of the nurses there and lovely photo.
His own account
quote tweeted this tweet and said, quote, you also provided me a full sexual service too right after. So guys, make sure you get this service. This whore comes and fucks the same night.
Now, Samir is not that type of guy. He's a smooth guy. So immediately after this, a tweet goes out that said, sorry, I'm a terrible person and human being who has no loyalty to anyone, including my family or girlfriend of 4 years. Happy New Year. So you can start to see what happened here. He was sharing the account. But she jumped on his account. And then immediately the same account says, my account got hacked. Sorry about what happened earlier. And was trying to delete it. But the account also kept posting. So delete, post, delete. So now there's two people, two phones, same account.
This is a wild story. It's wild. So he goes to this IV drip. He ends up hooking up with that
hooks
woman
up with
who,
the, I think the IV drip might have came to him. I think that's what it was. I think they sent someone to his place.
Oh, I know exactly how this happens. That's the thing. Like, again, to be like, I have to go inside the mind of a murderer. I know exactly how
you're like Dexter. You're like,
I'm never surprised by anything. So it's like, and I look like the biggest piece of shit. Yeah. I have women that are like, you're the, you know, like, I'm not like bragging.
Right.
It's not like I'm doing this. I just know how it's done. I have a version. We all have a version of this in our lives where we know how this works out.
For me, it's scams. So people think I'm always doing something illegal. I'm like, no, I just understand them.
Right. You just get it.
Yeah.
Like, I know this guy went to the drip place or they came to him. He sees this cute nurse who's
touching.
It takes like an hour.
Yeah.
They start chit chatting. They find each other on Instagram. She DMs him. What are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going out. I'm in LA. Where should I go? They meet up at a bar. They go have drinks.
This is like Inception, because I think some of this is exactly how it happened.
They go have drinks. They come home together. They end up hooking up. His girlfriend back in Sevilla sees that he has a new follow on his Instagram.
Because you can DMs. See,
because this is another thing to the men out there. When you follow someone, it goes right to the top. So if you're dating someone, the best advice I can give to any guy who gets in a relationship is know that the girl you are dating knows exactly who the last follow you have is before you guys got serious.
They also, my wife can do this. She can look through stories and know who you're communicating with based on how many times they view yourself. Somehow she's like done this with her friends.
Oh yeah.
And well, I'm like,
the people that come up to the top of your viewing of your story. Like, I have women that write in all the time. He watches all my stories. He's always the first to watch my stories. Yeah, he's the first to watch your stories because he's touched your account in some way.
Yes.
When you touch someone's account, and touch is like kind of like a creepy word to use for it, but it is creepy. He's looking at your pictures.
The algorithm knows you're interested in this person. Here's something new of theirs.
The algorithm is outing him as, I like you. visually.
Yeah, the algorithm, bro.
Right.
The algorithm's out to get you. So how do you save? What would you tell Samir?
Well, it seems as though she saw that he followed her, and then she went and looked into her account, saw that she was with the drip people and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then she made an assumption that, like, oh, now she's accusing him of cheating on his own account.
Right.
And then they go back and forth. I think, you know, I mean, it's over. Like, to me.
You're
like,
rich. You got money, buddy. Move on.
So move on from your girlfriend. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. It's either counseling or end it. Okay. You know, like, I think
at that point, might end it, actually.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't know if they did hook up. You know,
sure.
I think I do believe, if I'm thinking of like the spectrum of options, she made an assumption or it actually happened.
Yeah.
And she found out in another way because she has access to his phone in some way where, you know, it came up on the iPad, you know, where
photos
would
or
come
something.
Up on the iPad yeah. or something. But let's just say she's a jealous girlfriend, which is also an option. I'm not saying she is, but it's an option. Yeah. If she saw that he followed this cute girl who happened to give him the IV, and then she went on and made a move on his Twitter to be like, this chick will, you know, will shoot you up and suck you down.
What a good slogan.
You have to somehow, the only way out of it is to have the woman go to your girlfriend and be like, this is not what happened at all. Yeah. Like,
But cat's out of the bag at that point, right? Like,
well, it either
now you know
or
the girlfriend's going to be like this way if it didn't happen.
You've learned that your girlfriend, obviously there's other issues in the relationship if this isn't true.
Right. Also, I think it was his wife.
I don't know. No, she said girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Yeah, okay. And if she's writing girlfriend, that's what she is. I trust that.
I missed that part. Yeah. I was really into I need an IV drip, but not like that. My wife is a nurse, thank God.
This era we're in, it's nearly, especially, you know, back then, you could cheat on your wife or girlfriend.
You could have families all over the country.
You could start a family three blocks away and really nobody would ever know. Yeah. And it's just, you got real
Dominican PTSD when you said that.
Well, here's how not careful men used to be. You would get caught by having lipstick on your collar.
Bro.
Like the idea.
That was a common trope.
Right. That was a trope. Yeah. So, man, that means it was true.
It happened. Yeah.
And you're like, man, these idiots were like, that's like, to me, that's like a caveman. You know, like,
you don't
like
look in the mirror once.
Right. You didn't. That's how little you were thinking of like how you could get caught. Oh, this?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, nowadays, you know, to the idea, no man today would be caught in that way because they take care of the collar. They just miss that they're. Texts are going also off on their iPad.
You download a dating app when you're away and your wife and kid are playing on the iPad. What's this new app?
Grindr?
Who was it?
We
know somebody whose like grandfather had two families, and so that he would never get caught, he named both kids the same on both sides of the family. I forget who it is.
Jesus. Named them? So how
did
that
help like him? Two boys on each side and named both kids the same, so there's two Derek's and two Stevens.
So no one.
So he could always say like, "Oh, I'm gonna go see Derek," and I'd be like, oh, "It's a different name."
Guys, a genius. You know,
what a great way to organize your asshole. Totally
you gotta be lucky because if not, there's some little girl named Derek, and you gotta just like trust me, kid. It was better off. Let's talk about Shakira, a name you've heard before.
Yeah.
She was married to
Gerard Piqué, who was a center back for Spain and
formerly
Barcelona.
For Manchester United.
Yeah. Here's the other thing about soccer players: great build.
Yeah,
they have the most sexual build.
The best
tennis players, soccer players, really those two.
Cuban comedians.
Married Cuban comedians, of course. Those are the ones women.
I play soccer on Sunday, so thank you.
The build of a soccer, like that translates well to camera, to video. So you can see how these men get pulled into.
They look like models.
Yes, they do.
Great gods. So, okay, Shakira and Piqué, they are like the Kardashian
power couple
in Spain and in Europe. Big deal. So apparently they were separated for a little bit. They were trying to make it work. This has been revealed recently.
Yeah.
All we know is they have a very, very public and dramatic breakup. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's how Shakira found out. This is one of the most interesting things ever. Shakira loves Same as me, by the way. Strawberry jam.
Okay.
I'm a massive strawberry jam fan. I literally will fly to Ireland just to buy this certain strawberry jam.
This is real.
They don't ship. This is real. Okay.
This is like you've gone like four times.
Four times.
To get a jam. Strawberry jam.
All right. We can talk about it later. Don't judge me. Dude. Okay. You literally were judging me with your eyes. It is that good.
It's
okay?
Gotta be good.
It's good. Okay.
And that's so why he has Shakira's build.
That's right.
That's right.
Pregnancy, Shakira. So she loves strawberry jam. Gerard Piqué takes care of his body so well, he refuses to eat it. Has never had any.
Never had it.
She keeps it in the fridge. Never had it. He is that dedicated to his career. He doesn't have like sugar or anything.
Try it?
He never tried it.
Okay.
So she comes home one day, opens the fridge, and some of her strawberry jam has been eaten.
Oh, no.
And she knows.
It was another woman.
There was another woman. Turns out she was right.
That is wild.
He's banging his, like, what was she, like a PR person or something? She had something to do in his, like, work sphere. Maybe social media manager.
I don't remember. It wasn't a nanny or anything.
But it was
like
Shakira.
That's the lipstick on the collar.
Yes.
Like, that, to me, is like.
Ridiculous.
For you to get caught that way, you really had to not
care. Let me tell you
something.
As a husband, you know your wife loves the strawberry jam. You hear that of it opening,
yeah.
You know, put it down.
Don't even move it from where it was.
That's
like the warning. Come in this house, you do not touch
the strawberry jam. Don't go in that room. Don't touch the strawberry jam. Bro, eats the strawberry jam, okay? Finds him. Here's what she does next. She goes on Bizarrap, which you might not know what that is, but that is a South American YouTube channel that gets literally hundreds of millions of views for rappers come on and the guy will make a beat on the spot and they'll freestyle. She does a song about the breakup that shoots to number one in the world. It's shitting on this guy, Gerard Piqué. Meanwhile, he's playing. She said, you turned in a Rolex for a Casio. He gets sponsored by Casio. They're going back and forth.
He used it as a publicity. He used the publicity of the cheating scandal to kind of find some good favor.
How long were they dating?
They were married for years.
They were married for 11 years. But that kind of shows like how out of the marriage he was.
Well, this is okay. Right. So the quote recently was, and I don't even know if you saw this, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't remember exactly. He said, people say I'm selfish, but I do everything for myself. At the end of my life, I don't want to live with any regrets. Right. I'm doing it all for myself. I do what I want when I want, essentially, is the paraphrase he said. The when I die.
He also said that, I remember that moment that Jared Freed didn't ask Larry Bird for his autograph. He's like, I don't want to live like that.
No regrets.
Right.
No regrets.
This guy would have gone.
Yeah.
This guy would have gotten the autograph. Yeah. Would have gotten
it. His dad didn't even have to stop the car. He would have tugged the rope.
Dad, pull the f*** over.
Yeah.
Gerard's got to get his.
Yeah. So this became very public. People started sharing the photos of the other woman. And of course, she doesn't even remotely compare to Shakira.
who's one of the most, I get it, right.
But that became like a big, a lot of internet fodder. So now you have a star who's kind of retired, but he owns like a really popular like secondary league now. Like streamers play in it. It's a big deal. She's obviously a pop star.
She's Shakira.
Yeah. What do we do from here?
I mean, I guess my advice would be to her, like the strawberry jam, how you get caught is kind of like how much you care. To me, it says something about how much you like. And then the quotes afterwards of like, I do things for me. Mm-hmm. It seems like this marriage had issues,
to put it
mildly. But I think the cheating is never the issue. It's like, what got us here? For him to not care.
That's bars.
Of that strawberry jam. When you are so, your personality is wrapped in, I don't eat the strawberry jam. And then you're just watching some woman, go through your fridge, through your wife's jam. You're just like, it's over.
That's
you're
almost worse than the cheating, right?
Yeah, I think you're looking to be caught. I think you want out and you want, how do we get out of this? You know, what will make, push that first domino.
Right.
You know
how do we make them break up with me so I don't have to break up with them?
Right. Yeah. I have really no reason. She's great to me. She's an international superstar. I mean, it's funny, like the comparison of pictures, like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the adventure of new is always going to like have its temptation rather than the things you've known before.
This is why people think you're a jerk, huh?
Well, I'm just telling you, right.
Even though you're right. You're speaking of it from, but you're saying it as if it's your advice you're giving, but you're not. You're saying this is why people cheat.
I mean, this is an old saying. It's not mine. This is another one that makes me sound like a dick. But for every person that someone wants to f*** there's another person tired of f***ing. f-ing them.
Yeah, you know.
So it doesn't matter. Like, so
every man's treasure is somebody's garbage, or the other way around.
Whatever.
Every
it goes all, garbage, you know, can say it in whatever way you want, but right. Like Shakira, like I look at Shakira, I'd be like, oh my God, there's nothing I wouldn't do to like be with Shakira, you know? And then like, this guy who's married her is like, take her.
Yeah. Like, you want some jam?
She keeps trying to feed me this jam. She doesn't understand my career. She doesn't care about my body. My whole future is dependent on whether I can take care of myself.
Right.
And she keeps telling everyone I won't eat it, making me out to be the bad guy. You think this is a good marriage? You think I'm living in the life? Well, you should know the hell I'm living in. And no one will ever see his side of it. Because Shakira's a musician. Musicians, especially, we know you'll dance to the music no matter how horrific they are as a person.
We're still rocking out to R. Kelly songs,
right.
or Michael Jackson songs.
Listen, Diddy, all the stuff that Diddy is going to, he's going to go to jail. This guy's going to go to jail for life.
That was my former boss.
Come on.
I used to work for Sean John.
That's a thing. Like, I was at an event and they had a gala type event. They had, what's his name? He was in Bad Boys, and then he became like a preacher.
Mace.
They're like, Mace is playing. I don't know Mace from anything, but I could appreciate that this was a big deal for people. Mace goes up, and this is Diddy that's going through the trial. This is like the beginning of the trial stuff, and it's all in the news. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, Bad Boys for Life. I'm like, this isn't a Mace song. This is a Diddy song. Yeah. And you got all these people on the dance floor in their tuxes. Bad Boys. I'm like, no one's freaked out right now. So again, like, we give musicians this like weird pass on their art. And like, you know, again, I don't doubt that Shakira is a victim of cheating. Like, I have no doubt about that. We don't know about the marriage. We don't know where it was. We don't know where.
Right.
You know, and so I think, you know, my most empathetic bone, I'm now caring for the murderer. I have to say, like, I don't know where his head was at in a marriage to just not give a about this jam getting.
He even probably was like, yo, you want strawberry jam?
Right. Yeah. Get me out of this hell I'm living in.
Married to this international sex symbol.
Right. That no one will ever take my side.
No one will.
No, the world will say that I'm a monster that gave up Shakira. They're even comparing this other woman's a Casio watch. Yeah. Horrific thing to say about someone.
She put that in the rap song. Right. Yeah.
The one detail, they were not married. They were together for 11 years.
Oh, that's right. They were never married.
But they never got married.
Listen, this is all
long-time
sad.
Partners.
Yeah,
this is all sad. I don't, and I have no doubt that Shakira. Like, listen, I want to take Shakira's side.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
For the record, I have taken Shakira's side.
Right. Like, I if you have to take a side, this is the one you take.
Oh, strawberry head jam.
Who gives a shit about jam heads. Good-looking soccer player who has to fuck everything?
Yeah.
It's like, well, but then also he wouldn't marry her for 11 years, so a lot of people would look at that. We don't know. I don't know. I only know what you just told me. So
I always
give
a pass to Europeans about that. For some reason, Europeans just don't want to get married.
Listen,
they just stay together forever. I don't
maybe
get it.
That was it. Maybe she was like, we don't need to get married.
Yeah.
And now every person's like, he wouldn't get married.
Yeah. There's one note about this whole story that I think is great is when he left the house, like when they were kind of trialing a bit of a separation as they were trying to work it out. He moved his mother-in-law next door to her. His mother next door to her, so she could watch Shakira. So Shakira put a witch.
The mother could watch?
Gerard Piqué moved his own mother next to where Shakira lived, so she could watch Shakira to make sure Shakira wasn't getting with anybody. So Shakira put up a witch on the balcony overlooking the mother's bedroom.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, that's also like maniacal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm moving my mother to watch you we're having issues and I'm off in Sevilla.
Yeah. He wasn't in Sevilla, but I like how Sevilla just keeps. He probably was.
Listen, I'm just imagining this guy's life.
We know how they get that.
Yeah, now I'm Team Shakira.
Jared Freed, brother, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. Seriously, it was nice to talk some footy, talk Love Undercover. Everybody, make sure you go follow Jared Freed, especially on Instagram at Jared FREID. Watch his special on Netflix, 37 and Single.
Oh, so if he's performing, go watch.
watch them.
I'm out there. I'm on the road. I'm
taking. Pass me that remote. Oh wait, I have one in front of me. I want to show the world. You sometimes perform like this, bro.
Sometimes I'll
with
put
the mic right here.
Yeah,
it's so impressive. Every time I see it, I'm like, he's doing the Freed. You know what I mean?
I think that I don't know.
That's
a
you move.
It's a discomfort thing, but no, I'll take it. I'm taping a special in Tarrytown.
I'm not far from
you. Yeah, if anyone's out there, would love to have you at the show. It's an hour story about going to the beach with my parents. So it's like, it's
you've
all
already given
parents.
Us a bit of a clue.
I've seen you post a lot of stuff with your parents on vacation. A lot of different things. And yeah, they're definitely fun people.
They're wild. They're just animals.
Where can they get tickets for this?
JaredFreed.com. Just go. The website's on my Instagram and all that stuff. So
Jared,
thank you guys. This is such a blast.
This is the best,
great
man. Thank
you
so much.
Always
for coming through, brother. I appreciate
Absolutely.
You. All right. Yeah. Go follow Jared. We got more to discuss. A lot of other news in footy. So come right back after this. Shout out to Jared Freed. Thank you so much for coming through.
Wow, there's a lot more talk about Strawberry Jam than I thought.
Okay, Strawberry Jam is a big, it's a third Cooligan, actually.
Yeah. Bro, if I came home and I saw that my Strawberry Jam had been eaten, I look at my wife and I go, why you eat my Strawberry Jam and how much I love
it wouldn't even be that. Like, case closed. We figured it out.
Yeah. My wife be like, oh, yeah, I ate your Strawberry Jam. For that to ruin a relationship is kind of genius, though.
Amazing. So, go follow.
By the way, every time I bring up Strawberry Jam, people ask me where I get. I'm not telling you, bro.
Oh, yeah.
She don't make that much.
Alexis is the king of gatekeeping.
I know, but in this particular, you know I gatekeep this heavy.
Bro, this is
You want to find out? Tell me you're going to Ireland.
All right.
And then I'll tell you what it is so you can buy me a box. And I'll give you the money.
Okay, so let's wrap up with just some MLS news.
Let's talk about the team and the shirt you're wearing
right. So we'll on Thursday we'll go over. We have a lot because this weekend in MLS was pretty wild. So we'll talk about it on Thursday. But we have to talk about our experience at Yankee Stadium. Lionel Messi, we welcomed him with warm middle finger.
This was New York, bro.
This was the New York.
A dude in an Argentina Messi jersey flipping off Messi is the most New York possible.
Love it.
Also, isn't this the vibe that people want of football in America, soccer?
I think so.
People want this to be, no rocks are being thrown. No bricks are being thrown.
No, it's
a cup or two. Cups can't hurt you if you were
a couple birds being flipped.
You know what I mean?
All right. So,
just a little, how you doing? Welcome to New York.
No harm done.
How's your mother doing?
Okay.
This is how we talk to each other, bro.
But this is a shout out to the guys from NYCFC Forever Pod who got this footage of all the NYCFC fans just again welcoming the team bus.
Messi security guard working overtime right now trying to analyze everyone with the Terminator eyes, bro.
My man has his eyes are like the LED kind of seeing all the little stats
jumping around, bro. This is the culture. Look at this. The most that's happening, a couple guys banging on the bus.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in good fun.
The funny thing is that we know a lot of these people. And these we're like, yeah, this friends. Ain't your personality.
Some of these people were at my wedding.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true. That is true.
So look, this is a...
this guy's got chopped cheese on the back of his jersey. Yeah. Shout out to Chopped Cheese FC.
Yeah, dude. So I think the fun part here is this is... I would say this is a little bit more unique of a welcome than some of the other MLS clubs, because a lot of MLS clubs, they do the messy glazing.
Yeah,
my favorite player.
I got notes from when I shared this on my stories. I got DMs, reactions and responses. So a lot of people that are not NYCFC fans and not Inter Miami fans saying thank you. Thank you, New York City, for doing this the right way.
Sure.
This is the way we should be welcoming Messi. He's currently the ops.
He is
for 90 minutes.
90 minutes. Even leading up to the stadium, you're still the ops as well.
Yeah. But for this match, ops.
You're the ops.
After the match, I want your photo. I want your autograph.
Okay. Take a photo with me. I want to, give me the fist bump. Yeah. Do whatever I got to do.
Yeah.
But this was, it made me proud to be a season ticket holder for this team.
Exactly.
Because
to know that these are our brethren. Bro.
Even at the game, I was 100% expecting it's going to be a sea of pink jerseys everywhere. And bro, there were definitely a lot. Not that many, not as many as I expected.
Would you agree with me? This was the most amount of people I've seen in this stadium for a New York City FC game since Pirlo's debut.
I would say the home opener, I think, had more. This was 44,738. I think that was the number that they put out.
I did see they put out a tweet.
Yeah, so I think the home opener probably had a little bit more, but then you would also say the price of the given the price of the tickets to get that many people, they made bank on it. I mean, every MLS team.
Some people paid Liverpool season ticket prices for some of these tickets.
Yeah. So that's what it was. For this game. So.
And let me tell you, Messi is a god in Argentina, god. But if he played for, I know he's Newell's Old Boys, but let's say even he's Newell's Old Boys, their big rival is Central Rosario Rosario Central. I forget which way you say it. If Messi, a god in Argentina, put on a Newell's Old Boys jersey and was in the bus heading into Central Rosario, how do you think those fans would welcome him? Same thing. They would be like, we love you. We love you. No, it would be a lot of this.
Yeah, so it was cool to see it was just,
For James Sands, bro.
James Sands, the fanfare, the goal from James Sands. I mean, the Miami ends up getting the lead 1-0 with Campana's goal.
Beautiful Messi cross.
That was a pass to Alba, a through
was
ball.
Was it Messi to Alba? Alba to Campana.
To Campana. Okay. Yeah. So it was a great play that I think it was just switched off for like kind of a second because Messi got
Tavon ball. Lost him just a little bit, right?
Tavon lost Alba. Sands kind of. In that situation, you kind of will try to prevent Messi from even receiving the ball in that dangerous of an area.
Which they were doing for a long time in this match.
And that's where I want to give some credit because I know people, there's a lot of people are still mad at Cushing out, the whole thing. But bro, Suarez and Messi were basically invisible in this match. It was remarkable.
Yeah.
Bro,
second half, somebody said to me, is Luis Suarez even in this game?
Right. And it's frustrating because, like, if we could play like that, why is Mikel Urrea crushing us with a brace or the other?
How are you losing to Philly 5 goals? We're doing this against Miami.
What is play like?
Bro, it's the same week.
Play like this all the time. This was such an incredible defensive performance, especially with the superstars that are on that team. And then the goal from James Sands.
First ever goal.
First career goal.
Crazy.
And we've interviewed James Sands for years. Just a great kid. We've seen him grow up.
Since he was 17, we've known him.
And the fact that he gets this moment and such a...
Probably when the most friends and family have asked for tickets.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's a 1-0 loss to Inter Miami at home is respectable.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I did my thing. I played against Messi and whatever. And we lost. We lost on the day. But in the basically at the death.
Mm-hmm. And literally the last play of the game.
No, there was another 30 seconds. There was something. Whatever. Who cares? But essentially for him to, and he had a great game. And for him to contribute that moment to a player who my guess is throughout every year that he's been with New York City FC, he might average 4 to 5 shots a season.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a guy.
That means nobody the plan has collapsed 4 or 5 times a season.
He does not take shots. There was one 3 years ago. Remember, he almost had a goal.
Was that the crossbar?
It hit the post, and it was like he was scrambling. All he had to do was kind of tap it in, but he was falling over and whatever. I vividly remember that moment the last time he was even close to scoring a goal.
We wanted it so bad for him.
Exactly. And for him to get it in this particular game on a set piece, who he rarely even gets on the end of set pieces.
Yeah, bro.
He's barely heads the ball at goal.
And I know he's never done it with no one around him. And he was empty, free header.
My man got higher up than anybody else. And
he hung up there too, bro. Yeah, he floated.
Heads the ball right in.
He had that too. Like, there's no chance you're not going in.
I was frustrated with the fact that they didn't score earlier in the game, given that watching,
Keegan Parks had two big chances.
They were so many missed opportunities. But
he had a rough one.
When you watch Miami, they're not a great defensive team per se.
And although Drake Callender played really well.
Callender was good. The center backs were good. They had a decent game. I'm not gonna take it, but they gave up lots of chances.
Yeah,
and that NYCFC couldn't finish. But we've seen Messi play a couple times already. But this is the second time we've seen him play for Miami. The first time we saw him was against Charlotte in the last game of the season that they lost. And you watch Messi, you watch Suarez, they're basically down two defenders most of the game.
Wait a minute. When we went to go see PSG, they drew that game, right?
No, no. They remember they won late. Icardi scored a late game.
Oh, that's right. I was about to say, yo, Messi can't win with us in this.
Yeah, we've never seen Messi score a goal, though.
Look at that. Really, bro, we're kryptonite, bro. Yo, we that kryptonite, fam.
Right. If we're at a Messi game, you know you're about to see a bad game.
Yo, we got that, bro.
So it was an incredible experience.
But shout out to all the New York City FC fans that seemingly came back to the stadium that night.
Yeah.
The house was full. It was beautiful to see.
Come back.
Shout out to all the people I hung out with, you know, Paul Verzi, Ari Shaffir, Karen Fien was there, Joey Dardano.
Yeah, I saw Joey. I saw Yodoye.
Yodoye, the homie. I didn't get to hang out with him as much. I saw him in the beginning. So many people. Anne Hathaway was there.
Do you have a crush on Anne Hathaway?
No, not that. I said she was boring.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
That's what it was.
Yeah, the exact opposite of crush. Did you tell her that?
You know something with Anne Hathaway with you. All right.
Bex was there. David Beckham and Romeo was there. Yeah, Marcelo.
Marcelo Hernandez from SNL.
He was there. It was a lot of cool people.
Dude, this was a...
you had to be there.
This was like the most marquee soccer game.
Page Six, bro. It was a Page Six event for those who remember Page Six.
Keep coming back. Hudson River Derby is this weekend. So
it's going to be another big one.
Another big game. All right. Yeah, the Eastern Conference is heating up. We're going to talk more MLS on Thursday and recap a lot of the wild weekend. There were a lot of great games. I obviously have to talk, you know, some Galaxy, Portland Timbers and RSL.
LAFC.
There's a lot to go over. So we'll do that on Thursday. All right, let's wrap up. Thank you again, Jared Fried, for joining us. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. Do all
click them buttons, bro.
You're not doing anything. Click the buttons.
Right now, what are you doing?
It's ridiculous.
Not a damn thing. Hit the button.
You're embarrassing. You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, I clicked the Cooligan subscribe button and I felt productive today.
Yeah. And you know, for all the people who listen on 1.5 speed, click the button.
We know there's monsters like you.
I know. Could you imagine people listening to me on 1.5 speed? I already talk at 1.5 speed.
So thank you again for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday, which is happens to be the release date for EAFC. So we got some fun stuff planned for that as well. So tune in on Thursday. See you then, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.